You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Want to be used by God? Well, how do you qualify for that? Where's that job application? What should be on your resume? Well, what does God look for in a man or woman that he wants to use? Well, that's what we're going to discover in this study on Through the Bible, as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, shares God's qualifications for personal ministry in our study of Jeremiah chapter 1. So grab a seat and get comfortable, and while you do, Greg and I have got a quick update on our world prayer team.
We do, Stephen. This week, our World Prayer Team warriors are traveling on their knees through Western Europe, and the ground is a little hard and rocky there.
Yes, it is. But we are so hopeful because we are in the process of really, I would call it repositioning the ministry in many ways. We've made a decision to go off terrestrial radio, conventional radio in Italy is an example, and we're establishing new teams and new ways to reach that Italian-speaking population with digital media.
Yeah, one of the things that we do, and we share this with you just to let you know, if you're a supporter of this ministry, we're working very hard with the funds that you give and the prayers that you offer. We are constantly evaluating, are we on the best delivery systems possible? Is the cost worth it? Is the value there? And so we are looking, particularly in Western Europe, at those delivery systems. We're developing new ways, new digital systems. We're extremely encouraged with that. So we're also asking you to join us in prayer, because we know the only answer to reaching people on hard ground is prayer.
Yeah, absolutely. If the Holy Spirit doesn't move in a dead man's heart, in a dead person's life, they're not going to turn to Christ. They're not going to find the Bible appealing, and Through the Bible is not going to appeal to them. So be praying for that. But we don't want to just leave you with prayer requests.
That's right.
We also want you to know that there is fruit still coming out of Western Europe. And here's an example. This is from a UK listener. Greg, why don't you read this one?
I listen most mornings as a 68-year-old retired school teacher. I find reassurance and strength from Dr. McGee. It certainly is a comfort to my wife and I to hear this much-needed guidance in this modern age. We increasingly seem to be living in dark times. Hearing you explain the Word of God is a beacon of hope every day.
That is an encouraging letter. Now, this is one from Germany. It says, normally, I'm scared of the book of Revelation. However, your explanations have helped. I am grateful for the knowledge and assurances that you have given me.
And Steve, these responses are an example of the biblical metaphor that we have taken of flinging the seed.
Yeah.
You fling the seed, and Jesus said that he is the sower of the Word of God. And we are less interested in numbers than we are in the depth of impact in people's lives.
Yes. God is always faithful to have a remnant. And you can be praying that God would move, again, as I said at the beginning of the program, that he would move in dead people's hearts. We can be the smartest people in the room, not that we are, but pretend that we are, and have the perfect program. And you know what? If God doesn't move in their lives, it's not going to happen. Greg, we're out of time. Why don't you pray for us?
Father, you've heard our hearts, and you know we are relying on you to do the work that we can't do, as Steve said so well, to raise people spiritually from the dead. That's your work. We are trying to be your servants, and we pray that you will use our humble efforts to bring many into your kingdom and to deepen the faith of many. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn now to Jeremiah chapter 1 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Our friends, as we come back to the study of Jeremiah, we were introduced to him last time, the weeping prophet. I would say that there were two things that characterized Jeremiah: loneliness. He was a lonely man, and also weeping. That is the thing that characterized him: tears and loneliness. These are the marks of his ministry. We mentioned last time that he began his ministry, the reign of Josiah, the 13th year, and this man Josiah came to the throne as a boy of 8 years of age, which means he was 22 years old, and apparently Jeremiah was 20. So they were two young men that I would say were friends. There was this revival during the time of Josiah, And Jeremiah's father probably had a great deal to do with it, as he found the book of the law of Moses, and it takes the word of God to bring a revival. Never a man, but the book. There's never been a revival in the church that the word of God was not responsible for it. Now, God has used man. It's true, but it's not the man, but the word of God that brings it. Now, we find here in verse 4, we have the call of this man to the prophetic ministry. And this, I think, is rather important. Now, let me mention here at the very beginning, we have the call of the prophet during the reign of Josiah here in chapter 1. And we're going to see that now. And then from chapter 2 to 20, we have prophecies to Judah and Jerusalem prior to Zedekiah's reign, which means that a great deal of the messages of Jeremiah and his ministry was given actually before the book of the law of Moses was found by Hilkiah. Now I'm reading verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and I can't emphasize that too much. This is the word of the Lord. If you're not prepared to go along with that, you just well put down the book. It'll have no message for you. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, this is the word of God. I don't propose to tell you how God got it through to him, but he got it through to him. And this is the word of the Lord. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. I'm sure glad that the mother, Jeremiah, didn't practice abortion. He'd never been born. Somebody says, when is a child a child? May I say, the moment that it's conceived. Read the 139th Psalm. David said that he was formed in the lower parts of the earth. That is, he was formed in the womb of his mother. And that very moment that began, and there is, I'm told by a gynecologist, that there's tremendous development at the very beginning. And I want to say this, and again, looks like I'm just not making friends and influencing people. My friend, abortion is murder, unless it's done to save life. It just happens to be that. It can't be looked at any other way, according to the word of God. God says, I knew you. And he called this man. Now, the important thing is, why did God say that to this man? My friend, he's going to give a message that's going to be rejected. It's going to cause him to be in prison. He's going to have to stand for God. And it's going to be a message that'll break his heart, because he loved his people and he hated to tell them what was going to come to them. But God wanted a man with a message like this, a tender man. Now, in the court of old Ahab and Jezebel, God sent a hard-boiled prophet by the name of Elijah. But now, God wants his people to know before they go into captivity, he loves them. He wants to save them. And he wants to deliver them. And he picked this kind of a man. Now, why does he tell this man this? He wants to encourage him. He said, I want you to know, Jeremiah, the important thing is I am the one that I have called you, I've ordained you, and I've sanctified you. Now, that word sanctification here just simply means this, as we've seen this word before. It means to set aside for the use of God. Those vessels, I've referred to this before, back in the tabernacle and in the temple, those vessels, the old beaten up pans and pots that were there, that were used in God's service, they're called holy vessels, are sanctified. My friend, old battered up stuff, they look like they ought to trade them in on a new set. Well, why were they called holy? Because they were for the use of God. Anything that's for the use of God is sanctified when it's set aside for that. And God says, before you were born, Jeremiah, I set you aside for my use. So you don't worry about the effect of your message. Don't worry about that. You just give my message. And I want to be very frank with you. I feel very comfortable today as I sit here, because many of you know I'm not pulling punches. I'm giving it just like it is. And that's the way I intend to do it. And listen, that's my responsibility. And I want to say this kindly. I am not responsible to you. I'm responsible to God, and I turn my report into Him. And since I turn my report into Him, it's just too bad if I don't please you. I'm sorry. I wish I did. But I know that a great many not very happy with this type of a ministry. I had this ministry as a pastor. I always had a little group. Somebody said, "My, how people loved you." Yes, they did. And I thank God for that today. But you know, I always had a little group of dissidents. Oh, they were cantankerous. They were mean. They were troublemakers. And I don't think some of them were quite honest. In fact, I know they were not. May I say to you that if you're giving out the Word of God, you're responsible to God, and you're set aside for that ministry. This man was. God says, "I've ordained thee a prophet unto this nation." Now, that gives him authority. It gives him encouragement. And I tell you, it's going to help him through many a dark day. Now, God says, "Then said I." Now, listen to Jeremiah's response. And at this time, he was about 20 years old, but this verse doesn't look like it. "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak from a child." Now, actually, he was not a child as you and I think of a child. This is the same word that was used in Zechariah, the second chapter, verse 4, where the angel says to Zechariah, "Speak to this young man." Now, young man is the same word that's translated child. And this man, Jeremiah, at this time was a young man. And I think it's more or less assumed that he was about 20 years of age at this time. Now, the reason he says this, he says, "I'm a young, inexperienced fella. I'm not capable of doing this. I'm not prepared for it." And I've called attention to this before. Have you ever noticed that the man that God uses is the man that doesn't think he can do it? If you think you can do it today, then may I say to you, I don't think God can use you. I had a young preacher that came in to see me, and he was just absolutely green with jealousy of another man in the town where he was. And he said this to me. He said, "I'm a better preacher than he is. I'm a better pastor than he is. I'm a better speaker than he is." And he just went down the list. And when he finished, and he said, "Now I want to know why God's using that man and he's not using me." He said, "My ministry is just falling flat." Well, I said, "I'll tell you why." I said, "You think you can do it. And I happen to know the other man, and the other man really doesn't believe he can do it." And I said, "God always uses that. God chooses the weak things of the world." And Jeremiah says, "I'm just a young man. I'm not fitted. I'm not equipped. I'm not able to do this." And now notice what God says to him, "But the Lord said unto me, say not, I'm a young man, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful? Oh, may I say this, not as carping criticism, but just as a statement of fact. I listen to the liberals, and they're more liberal pulpits than they are fundamental today, but the fundamentalists are getting the people. The Bible-believing churches, they've got the thing moving today. The liberal hasn't. And if you would ask me what's wrong with these churches, primarily, it's actually not liberalism. The old boy up there speaking doesn't believe it. He's giving out theories and ideas, and he has panel discussions where he tells what he thinks. God says, "You give what I command you to give, and give it with that authority." May I say to you, when you're giving out God's word, it's very comfortable, very wonderful. I love this. I love Jeremiah. I'd love to have comforted that man, and he sure has comforted me today. I can assure you that. Listen, verse 8, "Be not afraid of their faces." And one of the comfortable things about radio is you can't get to me. A man that was up in Oakland, and he lives in this area now, He's a wonderful Christian now. He belonged to a certain cult where he believed that you went through rituals and gyrations and all kinds of things in order to be saved. And he was a contractor, and of the morning he'd be driving to work and up in San Francisco. I'm on the air about that time of the morning. And he'd started listening to me. And he said, "You made me so mad, you kept telling me I was a sinner." He says, "If I could have got to you, I would have punched you in the nose." And he's a big fella, and I think he could do it. And I'm very thankful I'm on radio, because I think there would be some that would punch me in the nose because of the fact that I say things they don't like. Now, the interesting thing is this man kept listening and listening and listening. And one day, he turned to the Lord and said, "I'm a sinner. Save me." And he accepted Christ as his Savior. May I say to you, that's the joy, giving out the Word of God. God says, "Go ahead and give it out. It won't return void to me. I can assure you that it will accomplish something." That's what's needed in the pulpit of this land today. Men to speak with authority what God has written down. That's all that he asks us to do. It's a very simple task in one way, and another, it's not so simple. He says to Jeremiah, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." God says, "I'm on your side." Martin Luther said, "One with God is a majority anytime." I belong to a minority group today, but really, if you want to know it, I'm in the majority. Now, verse 9, "Then the Lord put forth his hand, he touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I've put my words in thy mouth." That's very important. God has inspired the words of Scripture, not the thoughts or the ideas. The devil was not inspired to tell a lie, but the words that say that the devil told a lie, those words are inspired. The words of Scripture are, not the thoughts or the ideas. Too often today, we go astray at this particular point, and that's one reason, friends, I cannot commend certain so-called translations. They're good interpretations, but they're lousy translations, because it's the words that are inspired. We need to get back to that today. It's like the girl that was taking music lessons, and she wanted to be a singer. And finally, the time came for her to have a concert, you know. And she had the concert. And after it was over, she was back in the dressing room, and friends came back, and she was interested to know. She said, "What did my teacher say?" And a friend there who knew the teacher and knew her, he wanted to be very diplomatic. He says, "Well, he said that you sang heavenly." "Oh," she said, "did he say that?" "Yes," he said that. "Well," she said, "did he say that in so many words?" "Well, that was not exactly the words that he used, but that's what he meant." She says, "I want to know exactly the words he used. What did he say? Did he say that I sang heavenly?" "Well, he meant that, but what he really said was that it was an unearthly noise." May I say to you, friends, it's the words of Scripture that are inspired. God says, "I'm going to put my words in your mouth." Now, verse 10, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out and pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Had you ever stopped to think that all the government projects that these kings in that day, for instance, Jehoiakim and Jehoiachin and Zedekiah, these boys all had, you know, certain bureaus and certain government projects. They were going to improve Jerusalem. They were going to deal with the ecology. They were going to do away with the slums. They had a poverty program. They had all of those things. And Jeremiah wasn't even paid any attention to in that day. They ignored him. But now, friends, about not quite 3,000 years have rolled around. Let's say 2,700 years have gone by. Could any of you mention those government projects today? Can you ever tell me anything that Zedekiah ever did that was worthwhile? Can you mention anything that Jehoiachin or Jehoiakim did? Friends, They're just not mentioned. They did nothing good. And yet in that day, what they were doing, everybody thought was the thing and the popular thing. But this man Jeremiah was ignored. But who are we reading today? We're reading Jeremiah. These are the words of God, my friend. These are the things that are going to survive, and they're going to survive today. You and I are living in a nation that no longer hears God. They don't hear him in Washington. They're not hearing him in the universities or in the classroom today. And they're not hearing God today in the military. They're not hearing God among the scientists. But God is speaking, and his word will survive. Oh, this is such a great book, is it not? And now he says, God says, I'm really going to make you the one in charge. And poor little Jeremiah, he's wanting to retire even before he gets the job. Now, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? Now, these are the things that called him to the prophetic office. And now God gives them these two as tremendous examples. First is this, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now, the almond was known as the waker or the watcher. It's the first one that bloomed in the spring. It was the one that actually was a tree that came out of the long night of winter to bloom in the spring. And Jeremiah was to be an alarm clock, a waker. He was going to wake them up, but they didn't like to be waked up. No one who's asleep wants to be waked up. Alarm clock is the most unpopular thing in the world. In the dormitory where I was, every alarm clock was battered up. I've thrown one against the wall many a morning. Alarm clock is not popular. And here, that's what this man's going to be. He's going to be a waker. That's one thing. Verse 13, and I should read verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. I'm going to give you a word that's wake them up. He's going to shake them. He did too, by the way. Verse 13, and the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Well, now, what was the seething pot? Well, that was Egypt, and Assyria were no longer a danger to the southern kingdom of Judah. But round that fertile crescent in the north, there was a boiling pot, the rising power of Babylon, which was to eventually destroy the nation. And this man, Jeremiah, is to constantly warn them of what is going to happen to the nation. Now he says, for lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord, and they shall come. They shall set everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereof round about and against all the cities of Judah. You see, God, a century before, had delivered Jerusalem. Now the false prophets are all running around and saying that God's going to do this again. You see, at that time, the prophets of the past, they're gone. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, and Nahum, all of them together were contemporary with Isaiah. And they've now passed off the scene. I think Zephaniah and Habakkuk were still living. And Ezekiel and Obadiah, they were contemporary, but they're not going to prophesy until you get down yonder to the captives in Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, by the canals down there. And Daniel is to prophesy later on. So this man here, he stands alone, and he is to utter these judgments that are to come upon the nation. Now, what will be the reaction to this? Verse 19. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Go ahead, Jeremiah. They're going to resist you. They won't listen to the message, but you give the message. And that's our business today, by the way. Oh, this is a tremendous chapter, is it not? Well, we'll take up chapter 2 next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Yes, our business today is to stand, even when people resist, to communicate God's truth with our lives and with our words, People are watching, and they're measuring the validity of our message by how we express God's love, how we live with integrity, and whether we live like we believe our own message. We'll have more great truth from God's Word in our next study. Until then, if you need to reach us, you can visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-800-65-BIBLE. Or would you write to us? You can do that at Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. God bless you today as you walk with Him in the light of His Word.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Once again, out there in Radio Land, this is your radio pastor, James Ross of New Life Assembly of God Church. We're the church in the city with the city in his heart. And I thank God for this opportunity that can come into your homes and nursing homes and prison cells and automobiles, wherever you are this morning, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he truly is wonderful. He's great and he's mighty. And he's able to meet every need that you or I would have as a child of God. I want to pray for my faith partners right now, those that communicate with us, those that call and leave messages. I want you to continue to call, leave your name and a workable number, praise God, so we can get back to you. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we lift up our radio listeners out there. We ask that you would bless them. Meet every need that they have according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Strengthen them. Heal their bodies if they are sick. And Lord, I thank you for it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Praise God. Well, this morning, we're looking at the book of James. Praise God. And we want to just let everybody out there know that if there's some form of challenge in your life, that whatever may be going on that it seems to be insurmountable to you, I want to tell you that you have a risen Savior, an ascended Lord, an advocate. He sits there at the right hand of the Father, and he's able to help you today, regardless of the circumstances. So James is telling us this morning, praise God, as we read the Word of God, he's saying, count it all joy. You see, joy is one of the fruit of the Spirit. And what happens is that if we are going through something, we are to praise the Lord at all times. The Scripture tells us in Philippians 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So we are to rejoice in the Lord regardless of the circumstances that surround our lives. And James is telling us to count it all joy when we fall in diverse temptation. There's temptations all around us all during the course of the day. But I want to tell you, we have the victory over all the temptations. God is with us. And the Bible tells us that through all the temptations and the things that tries to beset us, that he is with us. And I recall reading there in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, praise God, where the Scripture tells us, Minister Gloria, would you like to read that? We're in 1 Corinthians 10, praise God. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. There has no temptation taken you.
But such is common to man.
Yes.
But God is faithful.
Yes, he is.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it.
Now, listen very carefully to Apostle Paul speaking. Now, this has nothing to do in concerning what James is talking about other than a temptation. When you fall in different kinds of temptations, and temptations is all around us, but God is faithful. who will with the temptation. He never said that he would remove the temptation. He said with the temptation, he will make a way of escape, that he will give you strength to bear it. And praise God, we thank the Lord for that. So James is saying that when we fall into diverse temptation, we're to count it all joy.
Amen.
And he's talking to us, brethren.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptation. Praise God.
So the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Yes.
So you want to, when James is telling us to count it all joy when we fall in diverse temptation.
Yes. Well, various trials as well.
Yes.
Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience.
Praise God. Praise God. The trying of our faith worketh patience.
My.
We have patience is also one of the fruit of the Spirit. Praise God. And what happened is that we have patience, and that patience comes from the Spirit of the living God. And we trust the Lord in everything that he has said to us. So we count it all joy when we fall in diverse temptation, knowing, glory to God, that these trials gives us the strength and the patience so that we can endure what we're going through.
Amen.
Only with the help of the Lord.
Amen.
And we thank God for that today through what James is telling us. Glory to God. But I want to look at in the fifth verse there. I want to go down to the fifth verse because most of us, things that we're going through, we don't seek the wisdom of God in terms of what is happening. Right away, we jump and we start doing our own thing, begin to lean to our own understanding.
Yes.
And the Word of God has told us not to do that. It said, lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways, acknowledge God, and he shall direct your path. So what happened is that we should seek the wisdom of God. Ask God for wisdom. And Minister Glory, would you kindly read James 1 and verse 5?
He says, if, that's the qualifier, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not.
Yes.
And it shall be given him.
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
We need wisdom in everything that we're doing. And I'm talking about Godly wisdom. There's wisdom of the world, and then there's the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
See, the wisdom of God is mm-hmm. pure mm-hmm. and honest, and it's easily to be entreated.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But the wisdom of this world is devilish.
That's right.
So we want to seek the wisdom of God in everything that we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
We need his wisdom
yes.
in order to do what he wants us to do. And even the challenges that come up against us as members of the body of Christ, we are to seek the wisdom of God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, you know, the wisdom of God, really, the Lord Jesus Christ is our wisdom.
Yes, he is.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in our sanctification,
mm-hmm.
the Lord Jesus Christ is everything to us.
Yes.
So we seek the wisdom of God.
Can I read that?
Amen. Praise God.
James 3 and 17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Praise God. That's mm-hmm. the wisdom of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wisdom that we seek or ask for
mm-hmm.
in the times of temptation or things that are challenging us in the natural.
Yes.
But God is good.
Yes, he is.
And he loves us.
Yes, he does.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But James also is telling us, you know, when we do these things with the help of the Holy Spirit, because really there's nothing that we could do without the Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
And there are many times we're talking about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But James telling we must know him.
Yes.
We must have that intimate relationship with him
mm-hmm.
as a child of God, being sensitive to the Spirit of the living God. We can't just talk about him. And there are a lot of times people are talking about him. They are confessing, but they have no possession. And what is needed is that we need to be sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Because James is telling us now, he's saying, well, a double-minded man, mm-hmm. you see, mm-hmm. a man that has two minds, mm-hmm. today he is all right and he is walking in victory and he's praising God and he's doing all the things that one would expect of a child of God. And then tomorrow he's operating in defeat and talking confusing statements and everything that's contrary to what the Word of God tells us. So James says a double-minded man right. is unstable in all of his ways.
Let's bring that up.
Of all of his ways.
He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. He won't. He won't receive anything of the Lord. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It's like a yo-yo, you know?
Yes.
All right, ends up, but when it's down, now you feel defeated.
And there are a lot of people that are walking in that situation. That today they're victorious, tomorrow they're defeated. Well, the God that I serve, he's mighty.
Yes.
He's able to do all things. There's nothing too difficult or hard for him to do. And we must keep in mind what the Word of God says, because if you are trying to walk in two minds, you can get nothing from God.
Nothing.
Because God wants you to walk in the faith that he has given you.
That's right.
Praise God.
That's right.
He wants you to walk in the faith that he has given you. So if a double-minded man is unstable, he's unstable in all of his ways. Mm-hmm. And that instability or unstable, that's not only from a spiritual standpoint, but I strongly believe that that also can be carried over into a natural situation. That means that, well, a lot of times people don't pay their bills on time. They say one thing and they do something else, you know. You have to be of one mind.
Right, amen.
He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And I strongly believe that if it's one spirit, your mind should be on the things of God.
Praise God.
Because he said right there, he said, let not that man think that he shall receive
anything
mm-hmm. from the Lord.
From the Lord. Because
that's very clear.
You know, when you mention that, Pastor, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen? But he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's all about faith in what Jesus has done. That's all it is, and being obedient to the Word of God.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Being faithful, having faith, trusting in
the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's all he's asking of each believer.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this is why we want to be single-minded.
Yes.
We want to think on the things of God. We want to trust him at all costs, because he clearly stated that if you're walking today in victory and tomorrow in defeat, that you can get nothing from him. He said, let not that man think.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can think all you want, but you're not getting anything from God. The word says, let not that man think uh-huh. that he shall receive
anything
from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to please him on each and every day, and everything that we're doing, we want to please the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because our faith is in him.
Praise
and
God.
Challenges will come.
Yes, they do.
There will be things that will try and beset us, try to keep us mm-hmm. from doing the will of God. But I want to tell you today that whatever the temptations or the trials that you or I are going through, we must keep our mind and heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We must remember that everything that he has said and done is all truth. Mm-hmm. And we want to abide in the truth of what God said.
Amen.
And this is where we all will have the liberty and the freedom when we abide in the truth.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, if you continue in his word, mm-hmm. then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Praise God.
Now, James, among other things that is being said, we hold fast to the entire word of God. James says, let not the man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. Well, I shouldn't say James said. This is the word of God. This is what God gave him to say to us. Mm-hmm. Praise God. But our faith has to be in the one who has done it all.
Done it all.
And Jesus Christ, he has done it all for us. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Amen. Because a lot of times we look back at situations and we say, wow, why didn't I really think about that?
Mm-hmm.
That God has taken care of that. That the battle has been won and was won by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And many times we mention the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because God is not going to jump over our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to give you a blessing or to strengthen you. Everything comes from God through Calvary, which is where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ defeated the powers of darkness, and he did so much for us. So the blessings come to us through Calvary, mm-hmm. through what Jesus Christ has done. And many people don't believe that. They believe that, well, I can just call on God and he's going to bless me. No, God sent his son Jesus. He sent him to die, not only for the sin of the whole world, but also seeking that which was lost and to be a blessing to us and allow us to have salvation. And he sent him to bless us and to do a multitude of things there for everyone that will believe and trust in him.
Praise God.
You see, so what is happening is that our faith and our trust has to be in the one that the Father sent. He sent Jesus, and Jesus is the cure-all. He is everything for all of us. Praise God. I said he is everything for all of us,
praise
and our faith must be in him.
Amen.
And he alone. A lot of times we try to substitute by looking at other things mm-hmm. and try to have that to be what we will need in order to be victorious, but it does not work.
No.
Only in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Everything.
That's where all the benefits are coming from.
That's right. All the benefits yeah. is in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Because he says that, bless the Lord, O my soul, mm-hmm. and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the benefits. Praise God. And what benefits does he have? He has forgiven us of all of our sins or iniquity.
Amen.
Praise God. And he's healed all of our diseases.
Hallelujah.
Or the diseases or challenges mm-hmm. that comes up against us. So we thank God for what James is saying,
mm-hmm.
but there's also what Apostle Paul is saying. All through the scriptures, it is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do, because the Bible tells us line upon line and precept upon precept, a little here and a little there, and this is how we get a whole picture of the God that we serve and what he has done for us. You know, Minister Glory,
mm-hmm.
we as children of God really cannot fathom the idea of what transpired there at Calvary.
No.
I mean, there's some things that we can see through Scripture, but I mean, what really went on there?
My.
You know, our substitute,
yes.
who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, he went there. He took everything.
Yes, he
and
did.
If you look at all of the ills of society and mm-hmm. the things that are going on, you can see that that all of that stuff was laid on him.
That's right. That's what it says.
He took it and nailed it to his cross.
That's right.
And there's a multitude. There's things that we can't even begin to mention that he took.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And can you imagine? I don't understand how he died on Calvary's cross for past, present, and future sins. Sins that I haven't even committed, he died for. That is an awesome God.
Yes.
The one that we keep in mind all the time concerning every minute of the day, whatever challenge that will come our way.
Amen.
The God that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
And our faith has to be in him. And this is one of the reasons why we lift up Jesus.
Yes.
And we only lift him up because he is the only one that is able and has done all these things for us.
That's right.
That believe. He has made me righteous. You know, I could never be righteous by reading the Bible and going through my religious calisthenics and my disciplines and even praying. That would never make me righteous.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with prayer and you know, reading the Bible. One should read the Bible if they're born again. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the one that brought everything to us. And this is why we lift him up.
Amen.
We lift the Lord Jesus Christ up.
Amen.
Because no denomination can save you. No denomination can bless you from a spiritual standpoint. You know, and a lot of people put their faith in denominations and the things that goes on in there. But I want to tell you, Jesus.
Jesus is the answer.
And only Jesus. Is the answer for mankind's problems. And our faith must be in him. And he's made us righteous.
Yes. Yes.
That's what he's done.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
He's made us holy.
Yes.
You know, the scripture tells us that he made us righteous.
That's what it says.
In 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 21. Yeah. Would you read that, Minister?
For he has made him to be sin for us
yes.
who knew no sin.
My God.
That we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
That we might be made, we are made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, we're in right standing with God,
God
because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Praise God.
That's the only way that we have right standing with God is through what Jesus has done for us all that will believe and trust in him. And also, God is not angry with us because through Jesus Christ, he has made peace.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
He's made peace.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans, the fifth chapter and the first verse, praise God, the Bible tells us, Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth, Rome, praise God, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Jesus made peace with God for us.
Praise God.
There is so much, Minister Glory, that been done there on the cross of Calvary. That's why I say that we could not even begin to fathom the idea of everything. But what I like in terms of what he's done is that he became my substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Other words, he took my place. He didn't deserve.
No.
He never sinned. He went there on Calvary and died there because of me.
Amen.
Lord, how mercy. Isn't that wonderful? And when I found out that's what he done, then my faith is no longer in the church that I attend or the denomination that I'm part of that I walk around and brag about. No, my faith is in Jesus.
Praise God.
And only Jesus. And no matter what the circumstances are, I tell you, I look at the circumstances and I say, my God is greater than the circumstances.
Hallelujah.
But a lot of folks today, they make the circumstances greater than God.
No.
But I want to tell you, no, my God is greater than the circumstances.
That's right.
That's why our faith should be in Him.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And whatever we need,
mm-hmm.
whatever we need, if we need finances,
that's right.
Listen, He's able to supply it.
But
that's what he said.
But my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus.
Praise God. This is what Apostle Paul was telling the church of Philippi, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In Philippians 4 and verse 19, he said, but my God,
mm-hmm.
you know, see, so Paul had and was explaining a relationship that he had, the intimate relationship that he had with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's telling them, but my God.
Right.
See, he said, my God.
That's right.
He didn't tell them, your God. He said, but my God shall supply. God has an abundance of supply, and He'll meet every need that we have.
And good thing He gives us strength, you know, because I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me.
Yes.
Not trying to do it working out my own strength, but the strength that Jesus has given me by having faith in what He has done.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that wonderful?
It is wonderful.
And also that I'm a child of God by faith. Galatians 3 and verse 26,
mm-hmm.
where the scripture tells us that,
mm-hmm.
that for we are all children of God by faith mm-hmm. in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So why should I have my faith in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a child of God.
Amen. Child of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we love y'all out there in Radio Land. This is why we every Tuesday between 10 and 10:30, we tell you about the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ and that He loves you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't brag about anything.
No.
Because we were in the same old hole that everyone else out there
that's
not born again.
Mm-hmm.
We were there as well. But thank God for the glimmer of hope
mm-hmm.
that He sent His Son Jesus and brought forth deliverance and salvation to all of us that will believe and trust in Him.
Amen.
But before we close this broadcast out, I love you all out there. I don't know who you are, but in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit knows. And I want to extend this invitation. And Minister Gloria is going to tell you how you can have the joy and the peace and the love and everything that we have as a child of God.
Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise God.
In Jesus.
Hallelujah. I want you all that continue to call and leave messages. We return the calls, praise the Lord. But we would prefer to have you in the building with us, praise God. Well, anyway, God bless you all. It's my prayer. Stay tuned for the next broadcast by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God bless you is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.